Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, videos, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Yeti, Rob, Ensley.
How you doing, buddy? Looking good with all that spring Chinook oil all over the front of your shirt there.
Oh, Joey Pyburn and I are bathing in
omega-3s.
Yeah, well, that's a good word. Yeah.
And Nelly's eyebrows are singed off from the oil fire on the barbecue, as always. It's a yearly occurrence. He loses his eyebrows. So you guys did hear down there. I saw the pictures from the first day. How was the second day? You get a couple on
the
second day?
Dude, you're lucky we're even here. I tried to talk Tom into staying down there and making you do the show by yourself. That wouldn't have happened.
There wouldn't have been a show. So yeah. That would have been the end of The Outdoor Line.
Kind of what we're afraid of there. No question about it. So, no, and a big thanks to Dave Lee at Three Rivers Marine, who displays nothing short of a mastery of that fishery.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, tremendous.
And you got back on his boat after 20 years.
It only took me 20 years to get back. I brought Gogan Springer fishing one time with Dave Lee, and it took me 20 years to get back on his boat.
So we already scheduled our next trip with Dave in 2041.
Oh, and here comes Kathy. Look at this. Breakfast already. Thank you. Goodness. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, dear. So make a long story short, you know, thank goodness April has rescued us from the depths of the grips of winter. As we were talking, you know, April bass, April trout, we got springers now, okay? We've got some spring steelhead, got some spring turkey, got some spring bear. I'm seeing a trend here, you know.
It's a lot of spring.
Dude, and I am up for all of it. In fact, you know, David Lee and Joey were even uncovering and planning a spring beaver hunt, so which we're going to have to cover after we investigate not only the legalities but the location of such endeavors, and look into a few, you know, big flat tail recipes too. But Springer recipes, man, I tell you what, if you get them anywhere close to warm and at anything that looks like sodium close to them, they explode.
Cedar plank, man. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, you can't ruin them. And you smoked some a couple years ago, and oh my goodness. So that was some of the best smoked salmon I've ever had. The bag was half full of oil. incredible. But we do have a show here. In addition to some spring Chinook talk here, we're going to be covering some other stuff. We've got a really cool guest coming on here in just a few minutes, 6:25, Joe Poteet from SouthForkOutfitters.net. Back there in the Wyoming, Montana area. This guy's cool. They run wilderness. He's an outfitter, you know. And when Joe, I know when all of us think of fall, we think of a horse mule train riding into the high mountains with elk racks on it and crossing rivers and all that stuff. That's what these folks do. They run incredible elk hunting trips up into the mountains of Wyoming and Montana. And they also, in doing this, are like, you know what? This setting is amazing. We've got incredible fly fishing up here. Let's have folks come up here in the summertime to some of our camps. They've got these camps set. And so he started offering fly fishing trips into some of these remote areas of Wyoming a couple years ago, and it's starting to blow up. And it's just a great way to get your family back into there, into the wilderness, into some of these high meadows. I mean, we've experienced all this stuff. It's just epic, epic outdoor activity. And so Joe's going to jump on 6:25, talk about their trips, talk about how we got into this to begin with. And I think it'll be a cool interview here. I know we're excited about it.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this is you get to ride horses in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're like you and I hike in there with all our stuff in our backpack. You just get to ride a horse in. Yeah. It's nice and comfortable. Beautiful camps, comfy, great food. You got to cook. Mm-hmm. And you just hike around and catch rainbow trout.
Rainbows.
Cutthroat.
Brookies, browns.
I mean, and listen, this is pristine wilderness area where you're not. There's nobody back there. Nobody's catching these fish, so it's kind of a cool deal, man.
But if you think about, you know, what he's got going here, when he establishes these camps for this fishing situation, that just naturally translates into a better furnished camp for his hunting operation in the fall. And they're already scouting these things when they're rainbow trout fishing. I am fired up about this. And so we're going to get back there and try to do this with them. Joe, but again, Joe Poteet, go check it out, southforkoutfitters.net. And after this interview, if you aren't fired up to go back in and, you know, that corner of Wyoming and Montana, then I don't know what's going to – you need defibrillators, dude. Be shocked back to life if you don't enjoy this segment.
Yeah, we're going to need the rest of the show to talk to Joe. Yeah. 7 o'clock, yes, you know, Cole Lewis from Breakout with Bad Ashley on NBC Sports going to jump on with us. I haven't talked to Ashley. What's she jumping on with here now?
So the episode, she came out to CQ and filmed an episode with Joey and I, and by some miracle, we actually caught fish in front of the camera, which is a rarity. You've had that experience too, Robbo, I'm sure. But no, we had a great day. Bruce Larson, Renaissance Marine Group, was out there with us as well. Shane Palko, and so, yeah, we went and shot with her for a couple days, and the fish absolutely did cooperate. The weather was stunning, you know. So and Ashley's just she's a great kid. She's always, you know, been she was guiding. Robbo, you and I, you know, fished with her a couple times out on the peninsula and whatnot, and she's a lot of fun. So she's doing this thing, but it's not just the traditional get in a boat and catch a salmon type deal. We stayed at a friend's place in CQ, and she goes, hey, listen, is there any tide pools out in front? Is there any tide pools? Well, yeah, I think so. And she goes out there, and she comes back, and she'd found some sea urchins and some other stuff that, you know, she's just going to do an episode on beach gathering and what you can eat and, you know, crabbing from the shore. Just really some super accessible stuff that guys are going to be really, really interested in. The episode that we shot with her aired on Thursday starting at noon. It's still available right now if you go to NBCSports.com/Northwest, you can access this and a whole bunch of their content. And Outdoors GPS is on there too. Real bunch of cool stuff. Then it was funny because we were fishing with Dave Lee, and we start talking about this Berkeley Big Bass tournament produced by, you know, Northwest Bass. And Dave goes, oh yeah, I'm going over fishing that. And then we started kind of talking about it. So Ben Conley's jumping on after the Northwest Outdoor Report to talk to us about this. Dude, they have an hourly prize in this thing. This is next Saturday. Anybody can go do this, all right? So if you think you have the big fish for the hour, because there's hourly prizes on this, you run in. It's $2,000 per hour for the biggest fish, okay? Then they give you a key. So if you win that hour, and one of these 7 keys that they're giving away is going to fire up a brand new Skeeter ZX150 with a Yamaha 150 VMAX. Seriously, they're giving away a boat, $2,000 an hour, plus $1,000 if you catch it on a Pure Fishing Berkeley Abu Garcia rod and reel.
This was a huge hit a couple years ago. It was canceled last year because of COVID, but a couple years ago when they started this, it just went off, and the bass are moving up on potholes. Yeah. There was a 7.3-pounder weighed in a tournament last weekend over there, and a bunch in the 5 and low 6s. I mean, those are tankers, man. So, it's lining up for a good weekend of bass fishing over there. And then 7:25, Todd Daniels jumping on from Tall Tales Guide Service. He's been on the Cowlitz for the last couple of months, you know, stroking away on those big steelhead down there. So we're going to get a bird's eye view of what's going on in the Cowlitz River from our buddy Todd Daniels.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we do have a ton to cover. So tell you what, give us 90 seconds. We're going to pop right back in because we do have to talk a little bit about some spring steelhead opportunities. Okay, what exactly is going on, you know, down on the Columbia? But hey, CQ's still going on. Okay, that whole Cowlitz program. We got some lakes starting to pop. There's kokanee hitting at Lake Stevens, American Lake, and a whole bunch. Give us 90 seconds. Come right back. Load up that text toy, 710-710, powered by Yamaha Outboards. And we'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That is Joey Pyburn. Rob Ensley coming at us remotely from his Gig Harbor studios. I'm Tom Nelson, and we're coming at you from the Tulalip Roy Robinson Chevy RV studios, remotely, of course.
Yes.
One of these days we'll get back in the studio and fire up that reverse chine hotline brought to you by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat, but that day is not today. Happy Easter weekend to everybody out there, doggone it. As Easter Sunday dawns, that will be the last day of the Lower Columbia River Springer fishery. But while we were down doing that, Rob Ensley was at an undisclosed location somewhere south of...
Yeah, where were you, Rob? Yeah, where were you fishing? Where were you steelhead fishing?
I was in Oregon.
He was in Oregon.
We were in the Tillamook area. I mean, we go there. It's a yearly trip down there. Just had a blast. Fish have been really tough down there. I mean, they've had a tough winter down there. Steelhead fishing. We did okay. We caught a few, but it wasn't anything red hot or anything. But it was more about meeting up with all the guys and having a good time. Kind of a Lowrance trip kind of a deal. But
it's
I got
just
this,
good to get out.
It's just good to get out, right? Yeah, we know that. But I got to fish with Dan Birch. Long time rep here in the Northwest. Actually, in the West altogether. I mean, he was all over the West during his career. 45 years working for Pfluger and Shakespeare. And he's the guy that named the ugly stick. And I got to hear the story of how he named that rod. They spent, you know, the rod designer spent all this time designing this rod. They were so proud of it. They come in this meeting and Dan's in there and they bring this rod in. And it's just the most heinous looking thing he's ever seen in his life. And he's like, geez, that's the ugliest rod I've ever seen. What are we going to do with that thing? And they were just ticked, you know. You know, we spent all this time and all this money designing this rod, and thanks a lot. You call it ugly, and then some other guy throws in the stick, and within a matter of minutes, it's the ugly stick, and off it goes, you know. And yeah. Dan, and he's got a lifetime of stories, just hilarious stories, but one of his stories.
And everybody's owned an ugly stick.
Oh, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
You'd really have to try to break one, but at the sportsman shows, he sold these things for years and thousands and thousands and thousands of them. He would get up on top of a table and jump off of a table onto that rod and to show people you can't break it, you know?
Yeah.
And the rod would be bent between two chairs, you know, and he'd land on the center of it. Anyway, just a great time fishing with him. I fished with him and Uncle Jerry, both 82 years old. Fishing with Tim Juarez and Jack Smith down there, and it was a great time, man. Those guys took most of the fish, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is right, very cool.
Anyway, a good couple days, but while we were down there, you guys were sending all kinds of pictures from the Columbia, catching beautiful spring chinook. I saw one picture. Was that fish like mid-20s or what? You had one that was a tanker.
We had a couple big fish,
yeah. And you know, I'd never fished for springers. I'd never been down there, never done it.
Yeah.
And everybody tells me, you know, we all know great fishermen. You know, we have buddies who are just sticks. And they're like, oh, man, it's tough. Springer fishing's tough.
It can be really tough. Yeah.
They can break your heart.
Oh, yeah.
And then we go down there, and obviously we're going with Dave Lee. Dave is, you know, knows that river better than anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of sneaky little stuff, and I
little
don't
GOT,
think I was.
Sprayed some stuff. He sprayed some stuff on his herring, and he has.
He made us walk through a
He had a mist thing. You'd walk out of the hotel in the morning,
I don't know what kind of chemicals he sprayed on us, but it stung
for a little bit, and you lost
your
vision.
Eyes.
It burned your eyes.
You know what it's called? It's called Raid. Okay.
It could have been straight up pesticide. It absolutely could have been.
Maybe trying to kill you guys up.
And we noticed it was only Joe and I that had to walk through the pesticide.
Anyway, so what else?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, but anyway, go ahead.
So we get on the water in the morning and, you know, I'm figuring out the program, you know, keep the stuff on the deck. You're almost kind of just bouncing the bottom a little bit.
Pretty similar to the general buoy 10 program.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Trolling downhill,
and we jump into this one spot, run through it, don't really see much on the Raymarine, and we bounce out of there. Dave takes us to another spot, and we just happen to be there all by ourselves.
Yeah,
not another boat. And I don't know, first pass, we put like a 18 or 19 pounder in the
just
boat.
Shy of 20 pounds, cool. Which is an ungodly huge springer.
That would be 18 pounds, just shy of 20 pounds. Yeah,
yep.
That would be an 18 pounder.
Hey, that's University of Washington math there, Cougar Breath.
Then we did 7 more passes.
Hooked a fish every pass.
Yeah. Wow.
And awesome. And we're done by 11:30.
You are now the most hated people in Western Washington.
Oh, without a doubt.
Now,
yeah. So what I'm trying to say is springer fishing ain't that tough.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, you guys did well at both days. You got springers both days.
Yeah, we did. And then yesterday
we got that toad. We had to let go, but he was 24, 25 pounds. It was a big wild
green label herring, fish flash.
Yep,
typical kind of a deal there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we did get a couple fish running small herring in heads.
100%.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Which I was told by these great fishermen buddies of mine that doesn't work.
That doesn't work down there. Yeah. Want to bet?
Outstanding.
And it's just, dude, well, and after a winter, again, you know, and everybody that's listened to the show prior to Buoy 10 has heard this crap come out of my mouth, but here it is. After a winter of doing nothing but downrigger fishing, okay, and, you know, and we went over with Austin Mosier a couple times, did the Rufus Woods thing, but to just be trolling and watch an honest-to-God Chinook grab a rod out of the rod holder and try to rip it off the gunwale of the boat.
Was it shallow? Shallow water? Was it like 8, 10 feet deep?
It was about as deep as the water you were fishing. And we're going to get about as much detail out of me as about the water.
Well, what I'm getting at is when they hit in that 8 foot of 10 foot of water, they just rip the rod down. But anyway, outstanding. Yeah, I'm glad you guys had a good time. Fishing with Dave is always a good time. That guy can fish, out fish.
Learned a ton from him, we've known him forever, I mean, we bought boats from him and everything too. So super good guy, and just great to get back in his boat. And he does. He is the dirty trick capital of Springerland, USA.
Oh, for sure. That guy can fish. So the other thing going on this weekend, this is the youth hunt weekend for turkey. Turkey opener is on the 15th, about a week and a half away. And I pulled up the weather over in Colville. Pretty darn perfect over there. It's going to be up around 60 degrees in the afternoon. Turkeys might be roosting a little bit later in the morning. It's going to be freezing. So setting up pretty good for the kids this weekend over on the east side.
And a bunch of guys, you know, good dads, were loading up the kids and heading out of town. And I did see, I talked to our buddy Scott Salmon. He was crying when I talked to him because the Department of Fish and Wildlife scheduled the youth hunt during the last weekend of Springer season. What the heck?
Oh, yeah.
So Scott brutal. Was crying the whole way to the northeast corner over there to go shoot turkeys with.
Well, hopefully there's enough quota left. You know, after this weekend, they're gonna get together. They always do and look at the quota for the lower Columbia. I think it was 2,200 and change.
Yeah.
2,206 or something was the quota for the lower Columbia. So hopefully there's a little bit left over and we get another crack at them in May or something. But nevertheless, there's a bunch of kids hitting the woods. Mostly on the east side. There is a little bit of a chance of a turkey here on the west side, but it's pretty minimal. Everybody would be killing turkeys over on the other side of the mountains. But pretty good weather, though. It's setting up perfect for the folks over there. So.
And you talk about a perfect set of weather days for us to, you know, be down in an open boat, and you too, Rob.
Holy spectacular.
Smokes, dude.
I wore my Frog Togs waders with the liner in them, and the first day I was just like cooking in those waders, you know. It was so nice out. Yeah, we actually got a sunburn down there, which how often can you do that? Steelhead fishing.
Yeah. So right now, and you know, if you're thinking about an extension on the Columbia, I mean, obviously there's two factors, you know, to the Springer fishing, two factors that go into it, and one of them definitely is harvested fish. And so we're going to get those numbers, and as Rob indicated, somewhere in the low 2000s were earmarked for harvest down below Bonneville. The other factor, along with getting an increase, you know, if we didn't catch that harvest quota, is the TOE or time of entry curve going over the dams. So right now, as of today, according to Dart Adult Passage, you got 137 Chinook over the dam, lagging far behind the 10-year average of 405. So if you think you are getting that kind of help, that an update to upgrade the forecast, I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll just have to see. I mean, I wouldn't be holding your breath, but if there could be a little mop up deal, a 48-hour deal mid April, if at all. But I kind of at this point doubt it.
Yeah, the cool thing, we were steelhead fishing down there. We were running all Bomac stuff, you know, and Bomac makes 1/8-inch stick weights. And everybody's bobber dogging nowadays, so one of the boats is rigged up with bobber dogging gear, and then I love side drifting, so Jack had the rods rigged up for side drifting, but we were running the stick weights instead of pencil lead or slinkies or whatever, and I think we lost two rigs the first day. One, of course, was 30 foot up in a tree, and the other one was actually on the bottom. Those little stick weights, those little 1/8-inch stick weights, just snake through everything on the bottom.
I wish that stuff really would have been around when you and I were guiding. We would have saved thousands of liter. But that's a cool thing about Bob Buchanan, BOMAC SMI, is that they have their ears to the ground and they spend time on the water. And then they, you know, get this stuff figured out and packaged and lined up. And it's that whole BOMAC deal. If you haven't been to bow-mac.com, go check things out. You're missing out on the evil fish killing genius that is, you know, Bob Buchanan and his sons.
And they've got some new bobber dogging floats too that are cool. They're cupped on the bottom. The problem with bobber dogging is just keeping the float
Yeah.
You're keeping it moving downstream because if you use a regular float, like a torpedo, the water just goes by it, and you got to row like crazy to keep up with that float because it just wants to hang up upstream. Well, he's made them with a cupped bottom so that water pushes on that float and keeps your gear moving along with the boat. And just got a lot of cool designs there. But anyway, that's what we were doing down there, and it was damned effective. And now next year we've got to get those guys lined up with those 1/8 inch diameter stick width. They're damn near out of them.
Yeah.
Everything's sold out, of course, but we're going to get them rigged up with all that stuff for next year and get them stocked up. So not that they need that much because we didn't lose anything anyway. So
we're going to back out here for a quick break. On the other side of this break, met a guy that just may be responsible for the death of all three of our next large elk and a few high mountain trout to boot. Don't miss this. You're gonna want in on this. SouthForkOutfitters.com. Joe Poteet, our new best friend, joining us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle. Joey Pyburn here with me. Rob Ensley coming at us from our Gig Harbor studios. Matt Nelson back in the Seattle studio. Log on to SouthForkOutfitters.net, and here's the deal. It's about to get Western. Joe Poteet of SouthForkOutfitters.net joining us this morning. Good morning, Joe. How are you
morning,
this morning?
Joe.
Morning, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. But yeah. So we operate three wilderness elk outfitting operations in northwest Wyoming, and primarily we're the elk hunting operation. We do some bighorn sheep hunting as well, but we also have a tremendous area for backcountry fishing, and one of our camps is located on the South Fork of the Shoshone River, and we're about 8 miles up the South Fork of the Shoshone, so you're in some pristine waters out of reach of most people that cannot quite access that distance up the river, and it's a beautiful area for big brown trout, cutthroat, brook trout, and we're doing 5-day trips, so everything travels in and out on horses and mules, and we'll pack in on the first day. Then we have 3 days of self-guided wade fishing right from our base camp. Our base camp is fully equipped with top-of-the-line wall tents with wood stove in every tent, flooring, cots with foam pads, and very good cooking camp. We have a large dining cooking tent set up for that, and we have 3 days of fishing, and then we're out on the fifth day, and then people have the option of, if you'd like to fish some areas that are upstream or downstream, we can take some folks on horseback ride upriver for maybe 2 or 3 miles, and then they're able to fish their way down for the day, or vice versa, downstream, then fish your way up. But it's beautiful scenery. It's not uncommon to hear bull elk bugling at night and early in the morning, and you're going to be in a beautiful wilderness setting with tremendous fishing. So,
I'm just sitting here shaking my head. I can see Joe shaking his head too.
Yeah,
and Joe.
If we left right now, when will we get there?
So you kind of came to us through my cousin Ryan Lampers, and Ryan doesn't get too excited about outdoor stuff anymore. You know, he's done so much, and he called me and he was like, "Dude, you got to talk to this guy, Joe. He's got this deal. You can go in on horseback." For one, just probably the horseback ride alone is spectacular,
into the wilderness.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the being able to be back in the wilderness, get there comfortably, stay there comfortably, and then have a cook, good food, being able to ride upriver 2 miles and then just fish your way back down.
Yeah.
Dude, I love this. And I think a lot of our listeners, for like a summer family trip, take the kids, man, and show them the wilderness, and do it in a way that's comfortable, and get them addicted to this lifestyle, you know.
And it's a really sneaky way to keep your kids out of cell range for over 48 hours.
Unplug,
bust the phone habit, right?
Now, Joe, real quick, I want to frame up for people exactly where you're at. You're right up there, kind of wedged between Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Park. Some of the most ridiculous scenery in the entire country. We were just down there last fall, took the family down to Yellowstone, and you know, I'd been there since I was a kid, and it's just like jaw-dropping scenery. Well, you're riding way up into those mountains, and I talked to you, the area that you guys ride into is nearly impossible to hike into. You say, yeah, some people are going to hike in there, but I think maybe Pyburn and Lampers are about the only two guys I know that might actually hike into that area. So it's pretty remote, man. You're not going to see too many folks in there. It just sounds like a spectacular deal. And then, of course, you go from there right into your elk season and calling in some of those giant bulls that are coming out of the park. But sounds like a pretty special deal to me, buddy.
Yeah, we do. So we have three in elk hunting operations in Northwest Wyoming. One is in Timber Creek, Unit 51. That's a trophy bull area. Takes around 10 to 12 points to draw the tag, and we'll average bulls from consistently 340 to 380 range. And the camp where we do our fishing up the South Fork, that's a tremendous general tag area as well. We'll average bulls in the same class of 330, 340 bulls with a very good chance of 350 to 370 bull in there with a rifle. And that season opens October 1st, same as Unit 51 in Timber Creek, and then they run until the end of October. So what we're doing, unlike other outfitters, we're taking two 10-day hunts instead of multiple 5-day hunts, and we've reduced our hunter numbers tremendously. So we're focusing on quality, not quantity, and everyone having the utmost wilderness experience and going after quality bulls with 100% success. And that's our goal with our outfitting operation. So it's definitely not a quantity game for us. So, yeah, so if anyone's looking for a tremendous outfitted elk hunting opportunity, we can definitely accommodate. We also have another hunting opportunity for elk on the Jubois side, but that's a lodge-based hunt. So you're going back to a lodge at night and he's hunting with horseback from north of Jubois in the wilderness, north of Jubois, but you're coming back to a lodge every evening. So that's
all right. Let's bring this back to the fishing, Joe, because I've done plenty of elk hunting and I'm more excited about the fishing trip. So primarily fly fishing. I'm guessing that time of year, the bugs are coming off. It's going to be a dry fly fishing deal, which is so much fun. Rob and I went Sea Run cutthroat trout fishing out here with the fly rods, and we had a ball, dude. So what are they averaging a day? The average fly fisherman, how many fish is he catching a day, you think?
We're going to average around 10 nice trout a day, either good sized brook trout. We call it 18, 20 inch brown trout in there consistently as well. And you have some good brook trout and some rainbows. So there's quite a variety of trout to go after in the South Fork. It's not a situation where you're only relying on a spawning situation. So the fish that are in there, they're in there throughout the year. And it's a tremendous spot. It doesn't have hardly any pressure at all throughout the year. So the trips that we take that you're on fresh water every day and just beautiful scenery and pristine wilderness. But yes, definitely. And we're working on taking trips from late August through late September. And that's been the best time that we've found for dry fly fishing, where the water's cooled down enough and it's low enough to where you're not catching the runoff. But at the same time, it's just needs the perfect conditions for dry fly fishing that time of year.
I was just going to ask you that question. What time are you in there? But that answers my question. So the elk are screaming.
Sure.
You got elk screaming all over the place while you're fly fishing. That's about the most epic scenario I could imagine in there. My gosh.
Yeah,
so how do folks get a hold of you? They jump on the website and ping you through the website, or maybe give out your phone number or something, Joe, and let folks know how to get a hold of you.
That's fine. And feel free to, anyone can give me a call, my cell number. It's Montana area code 406. 220-1922. And and if anyone has any further questions, feel free to call anytime and be more than happy to go over anything.
So this is an opportunity that doesn't just come around every day.
No.
All right. You got to understand what exactly is going on here and what the Grand Teton, area is all about, what the Shoshone River is all about, and some of the thing that really struck me yesterday, Joe, when we were talking, was the fact that you get to walk in the footsteps of American legends like Buffalo Bill Cody, who actually had a hunting camp in this area, and a cabin. So you can see the footings of Buffalo Bill's hunting cabin right there. Tell us a little bit about that too, because to potentially put your boots in his footsteps at some point is it doesn't get cooler than that. Let's hear it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting location. So this is our base camp location was one of the original outfitting sites for Ned Frost. It was the original outfitter in Wyoming, and then believe in the 1880s, and he had a camp where we have one on Needle Creek and also in the Wiggins Fork. And he, at that time, people could have had anything in Yellowstone Park or anywhere they wanted to. So that really says a lot, I think, to know that someone did that. But after that, Buffalo Bill also had a hunting lodge up there, and there you can see the actual footprint of it and some old cabins and guest cabins. And there's still remnants of it there. So there's definitely a lot of history with it. And if those guys were using it, they were doing it for a reason. So, yeah, it's a beautiful area and has a lot of neat history from pictograph caves. There's some Indian paint kind of sketches, not sketches, but etchings and kind of stuff, and some glosses on the river as well in there, and a lot of history to it as well, for sure.
Well, yeah. Joey and I are going to knock a hole in our schedule sometime this summer and make every effort to get over there. He's Joe Poteet. The website is southforkoutfitters.net. We're getting a pinged on the text toy. What the heck's the number again? What's the website? The website again, southforkoutfitters.net. The phone number, Montana area code 406-220-1922. Once again, 406-220-1922. That's Joe Poteet. Joe, thank you so much for your time, and we'll have you on again soon, buddy. But yeah, we got to ink something down. We got to get over there, buddy.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
We'll be calling.
Thanks for everything, and looking forward to it.
See you, brother.
All right, Joe. Thanks again, man.
We'll see you.
All right. Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week here for the first weekend of April, right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. See ya.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
All right, so Joey and I have decided when we go back and fish with Joe Poteet, we're getting us some cowboy hats.
We were just talking during the break.
Sorry.
Like, dude,
it's got
to
happen.
How fun would it be to take the wives on that trip? You know, and then Tom's like, do we get to wear a cowboy hat?
Dude,
I was going, I think we have to.
I'm going full Haas Cartwright. I'm getting myself a 10-gallon hat, dude. I'm sorry.
You got to go full
Haas.
You are a full Haas.
Yeah. What a great trip, huh? Would that just be awesome? I mean, that time of year, it's just a little bit cooler. Man. Yeah, we're going to have to get in on that. I tell you what, if our kids aren't in school next fall, I don't know what's going on with school next fall, but there could be an Ensley trip with the kids back to that camp. I tell you what, in the fall, listen to the elk scream, catch some trout out of the creek, put the kids to work. They could chop firewood, you know, do the dishes, do all that stuff, teach them how to work at a backcountry camp. I tell you what, picks of the week, though, CQ's still going. I haven't heard a ton of reports out there, but I did have some buddies out there a couple days ago catching some blackmouth out of CQ. It is open, again, through the end of the month. I'll try not to screw that one up this time, but it's open through the end of April. It should, for all intents and purposes, only get better through the end of this month as blackmouth continue to scream out of the sound.
The Tony Floor kill team has been out there the past 3 days, and they're getting their fish. There's no question about it. That CQ remains absolutely solid as a rock.
Yeah, Springers, Columbia River, open through this weekend, through Easter. Again, you know, if you're on them, it's pretty darn good down there. The numbers are coming
super easy. Just go down there. You'll get your limit.
We drove over I-5, you know, on the way through Portland, going steelhead fishing down there, and there were not many boats up there in that Portland area, which led me to believe that pretty much everything's going on down below there. But anyway, Columbia's open through tomorrow for Springers, steelhead fishing. We still have the Skagit and Sauk and the Cowlitz. That's about all that's left here in Western Washington for steelhead opportunity. The Forks Area Rivers just closed down, and they were good. Right before they closed down, fishing was good out there. Bank fishing only. But, of course, I was getting all kinds of pictures from our buddy Mike Z out there. They were catching tankers from the beach. Imagine trying to land a 20-plus pound steelhead from the bank, you know, and they were getting them. So, anyway, that just shut down out there. But you still got some ops up there. You got two more openers on the Skagit. It shuts down on the 15th of April, so you have 2 4-day openers left up there to go get it done up there. Kokanee fishing, American Lake, Chelan, Roosevelt on the east side. Stevens has actually been pretty good up in your neck of the woods, guys. Folks are getting some Kokanee up there that way. Year-round lakes are getting trout. They're planting a lot of trout in our year-round lakes right now. Jump on the WDFW website, and you can jump on the catchable trout plants page on there, and you can go county by county, lake by lake. There's all kinds of searches you can do on there, and you can find a lake near you. Go catch some trout right now, and the weather's perfect. The youth opener, I mentioned this earlier in the show, the youth turkey opener is this weekend statewide, and then the general season opens on April 15th. And folks are getting ready for halibut already. We have the earliest halibut date I can ever remember here, of April 22nd as our first opener here in the Strait for halibut. And I know folks are getting geared up for that. I've seen folks at Sportco, Outdoor Emporium. You guys have been up north. You were up at Harbor Marine last week or whenever that was, and folks are already getting geared up for the halibut opener. People are excited about that one because these halibut are in here now. This is when the big numbers of halibut are in the Straits. So, you know, as long as the weather's good, who knows what the weather's going to do. But if we got decent weather, there's going to be some halibut coming out of the Strait of Juan a few
days. Oh, yeah, so definitely. Yeah,
pretty exciting. Then we just had a text, too, folks asking about shrimp dates. Do we have any, any inclination as to when that's going to happen?
Typically, it's the first weekend in May, right? Yeah. Which also coincides with my annual really, really ticked off tirade from Robbie Toback about how he's stuck at the Everett boat ramp at low tide that afternoon, right? So WDFW has taken this huge spring tide into consideration. So, dude, at 3 in the afternoon on May 1st, which is a Saturday, it's a minus 2.02, okay? That leaves every boat ramp in the state, saltwater boat ramp in the Puget Sound Basin, just about, dry, okay?
You ain't getting your boat in. They've been trying to schedule these on a little better tides, I think. Haven't they been kind of looking at the tides? Yeah.
Right, and so we're looking at the second or third week, and we're going to get more clarity on that, okay? And so we'll have plenty of time.
Less derelict gear too, right, Tom? When they have openers on those big tides, there's pots floating around all over the place.
And so look at what we're looking at here. It is what we're seeing is the 19th potentially. The 15th, May 15th, right? So middle of May, right around there. Check it out, and you're probably going to have your prawn opener at that point. So, you know, which is great, cool. Which is, you know, a lot mellower tide.
Yeah.
And the other thing about that, Robbo, and you know this yourself, it's not just the low tide, but that quantity of water moving is going to lay a lot of pot lines sideways. And so when you have a mellower tide, not only the ramp's more accessible, but you get a less of a current exchange. It's just easier shrimping.
Yep. Yeah, easier to go out and get your shrimp.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, and cool. Rob, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, that's about it. I mean, I've had some friends too out here the last couple of days catching trout on some of the local lakes. Talked to Dave Johnson earlier in the week. He was out. The trout were right on the surface. They just planted Kitsap Lake here locally. And Dave, of course, our buddy over at Kitsap Marine, was over there just roping them, trolling flies on the surface. He said they were taking them right on the surface. You know,
why does Dave hate the trout so much?
He's just, I don't know, man. There's definitely a vendetta against those trout, but I've never heard him. Every time he goes, he just has a blast, and he's got me hooked on the darn things now too. I didn't trout fish for years. Now we're taking the kids out, and it was just a blast, you know? So I'm constantly calling Dave for trout reports, 'cause he's on them all the time. Definitely Kitsap, but that's not the only lake. There's a ton of lakes that have been planted with trout. So jump on the WDFW website and see which one of your local lakes. And they're starting to plant more of the northern lakes now, too.
Rossiger, Panther, they've all got some fish in them now.
So 710, powered by Yamaha Outboards from the 425. Hey, guys, how about a NOF or North of Falcon update? Basically, on Wednesday, there was, you know, a large, you know, big meeting discussing a couple different aspects of what's going on. People are asking about Baker Lake right now. The sockeye run in Baker Lake does not look like it's going to support an in-lake fishery. There's still still a shot at having one over in Lake Wenatchee. To the larger issues regarding Chinook, we're still, you know, in the ditch on the Stillaguamish River. We're talking about a wild run this year of right around 300 individual Chinook, right? And so, you know, the state and the co-managers are basically managing this on an inside-out basis, right, where they need to get, you know, some more fish back to the Stilly. So right now we're still looking at a July 16th opener in 9 and 10. We're looking at a July 1st opener in Marine Area 7, the San Juans, under a quota. In Marine Area 5, obviously CQ is going to go off. 6 is still kind of up in the air with a Chinook opportunity. There's not going to be a bonus humpy limit in the saltwater, but there is going to be in some individual streams. The Skagit, the Snohomish, and down the Puyallup too. There's going to be some bonus pink opportunity down there. We're going to get a better coho season, because last year, if you remember, there was no salmon fish in Marine Area 8, or there was no coho fish in Marine Area 9. It's going to be selective in 9, probably selective in 8-2, but non-selective up in 8-1, so Skagit Bay, Saratoga Passage, and environs. So it's starting to kind of pull together and gel a little bit, Robbo, but we still have some got a couple hurdles to get through with regard to exact timing and the forging of some type of winter opportunity, which is still, you know, very, very much up in the air. But stay tuned. There's a lot going on, but there's a lot of conjecture. There's a lot of noise this year around the process. And my advice to everybody is just regard it for what it is, as noise. And listen to the folks that are in charge of the process, because there's a lot of junk out there that isn't true, that's misleading. So if you just stick to the facts and stick to what's going on WDFW.WA.gov, go back and listen to the plenary session, for example. That was after the, you know, some of the breakout groups, and that's available on WDFW and TVW and a whole lot. Get educated about the process, and you don't have to listen to a lot of these other voices that are really, you know, disturbingly uninformed to the process, because there's a lot to learn. And, you know, especially when you're talking about a run of wild Chinook in the Puget Sound Basin that's down to its last several hundred fish. Mm-hmm. Okay. We need to do something about that, because once it bounces back, it's going to mean more fish for everybody. And also, Robbo, I mean, the ocean has to cut us a break, dude. I think we're
finally being cut a break here, but this has been a long run, man. The ocean's been a mess for a while in terms of the ocean heat wave, the marine heat wave. We're calling it the blob we're not supposed to call it the blob anymore. The marine heat wave just kicked us in the teeth for the last 6 years.
Does that offend fat people? As a fat person myself, I say you can use the term blob. It's okay.
Okay, you have my permission.
I'm gonna get my 10-gallon Haas cart right rocking here. You can call me the blob. Yeah. The blob and
so
a half. That's perfect.
When we're fishing in Southeast Alaska in 62-degree water, like 61 degrees. That really I think we're getting a break now. I mean, we've had just crazy hurricane force winds in the North Pacific that have turned the ocean over. And, you know, it seems like there's signs that marine heat wave is going to dissipate. But that's what we needed, man. We needed that to get going again. And that's really what's hurt our steelhead runs, too. Our steelhead runs have just been wiped out by that hot water off the coast, warm water. And if we just get rid of that, we'll bounce right back and off we go again. But we need some help out on the ocean pasture, you know.
Yeah, and here's the deal, man. We got a 6-pack of snowpacks now. You know, the last few snowpacks have been really, really solid, and so, you know, that's definitely going to help. But again, we need some surprise coming out of the ocean. I think it's going to happen this year because, you know, you talk to our friend Joel Martin up at fishbaronoff.com. I just happen to be wearing a fishbaronoff.com hat. And
you got the hat on too. You're all sponsored up here.
I got the hat
on.
But it is so the Sitka herring fishery took off last week, and I guess. There's been a whole bunch of sport fish effort up in Southeast Alaska too, and the Chinook are there. I mean, a whole pile of them. Our friends at No Bananas Charters roped them this week coming around Vancouver Island. Holy smokes. Did you see that, Robbo?
I did. I saw Trevor. I saw his pictures, yeah.
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 And, which now begs the question, what's going on in Canada right now? Because we have not heard really a breath with regard to the Can-Am border opening task force. Mm-hmm. And so here's again the latest of what I've heard. It sounds like right now that Peregrine Lodge, for instance, is probably not planning on hosting out of country folks in June, but they're expecting some type of opening in July and August. So will that help guys that want to tow their boats up to Vancouver Island and fish Barkley Sound and all that kind of stuff traditionally guys do? I hope it does. And I hope we hear word soon. But right now, the word from our cousins to the north is really, really quiet. And we do need to hear something because, hey, it's time, folks. I mean, Robbo, this is your last show here in Washington. You're heading up what, next week?
Wednesday. We're heading out Wednesday. I'll be doing the show from up there again, you know, bandwidth
sure you will.
Permitting.
Uh-huh. But, yeah. Oh, sorry, bad that, internet. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Can
That's
we do
plan,
dial-up?
Though. Yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do up there. And actually, we're kind of excited that the herring are spawning in there around Craig and Kluwak right now. And all the whales and sea, all the marine life is in there right in town right now on the herring spawn. So we're excited to get up there early, although it is snowing up there. So, you know, that could
perfect. Is it?
And perfect.
Oh, nonstop. Every nice. Night. It snowed every night for the last few nights.
Good.
Up there.
And, that's good for you.
I called a buddy. They were going snowmobiling yesterday. He's like, oh, yeah, three feet of fresh powder. We're heading out. I'm like, no. We just started
to see the sun down here.
Jeez, but we're getting up here. We've got a lot of work to do. So, go ahead.
Jam-packed hour two heading your way, sports fans. Ashley Nicole Lewis of the brand new Breakout with Bad Ash and NBC Sports Northwest. The Northwest Outdoor Report, Pure Fishing's Ben Conley going to jump in and tell us about that the Berkeley Big Bass Classic. It's $2,000 an hour for the biggest fish, plus a key that may be your key to a brand new bass boat. Todd Daniels, Tall Tail Guide Service on those Cowlitz Jumbo Ironhead Rainbows. Roy Robbins is really where, and a whole pile more. Stay tuned for Jam Packed Hour 2 of the Outdoor Line 710 ESPN Seattle.